All right. We're going to dive right on in this afternoon. The apostle has ministered this afternoon, and all the other ministers, I know they prayed, so I'm going to touch and agree with their prayers on this evening. We're starting on, the persistence of prayer. The persistence of prayer. I think there may be chapter 5, I think. 6? Chapter 6, the persistence of prayer. But before we begin to deal with the persistence of prayer, I want to begin to deal with 5 things that will hinder you from being persistent in prayer. 5 things that will hinder you from hearing from God to be persistent in prayer. Because once you begin to pray, once you become more active in praying, once you become more mature in praying, the enemy will try to detour you. So what has to happen is you have to know what's going on and what's happening that's caused you not to be persistent, so you may be able to catch him. All right? Believers must learn to hear God's voice if they're ever going to realize that God gave them purpose. To fulfill your destiny, you must be willing to remove anything that hinders you from hearing from God. Once you remove those barriers, God is free to lead you now into the abundant living. Now, when we talk about the abundant living, we're not just talking about cars, homes. We're talking about every aspect of your life. Once you're able to hear from God correctly. All right. The first thing I want to deal with is the true sheep will hear the voice of the shepherd and will be led by him. It's not your book. This is hot off the press. I see some of you looking. The true sheep will hear the voice of the shepherd and will be led by him for no purposes. That's John 10, 1 through 5. The sheep will hear my voice and stranger he will not follow. The true sheep will not follow a stranger's voice, but only God's voice. Whose voice? God's voice. And once you're able to tune into God's voice, then you can become persistent in prayer. Psalms 23. For your notes, I want to read it though out the Amplified, Psalms 23:1. I love the way it puts this thing. Psalms 23:1 from the Amplified version, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and shield me. I shall not lack." Hoo-hoo-hoo, Lord. See, once you recognize that and begin to pray properly, when you begin to seek God, that's not one thing you would lack for. Because he said he will feed you, he will guide you, and he'll shield you. And I shall not lack. Then he goes on to say, God will speak to you, watch this, in specific details, not just vague impressions. See, once we tap into being able to hear God's voice properly, he will speak in specific details and not just vague impressions. He's not just going to throw something out the blue and say, who we do it? No, he's going to tell you exactly what you need to do. You know, some people try to get spooky with God, but, you know, he did. No. He'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Don't go that way. Don't take this. Don't eat that. I wish I would have heard that months ago when I went to Houston. But I'm pretty sure he warned me, but I just didn't listen. I'm pretty sure he warned me, but I just didn't listen. Hallelujah. See, Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Once again, those of you on the internet, we're dealing with being persistent in prayer, but I'm going to come from another angle first on hindrances that would keep you from hearing from God to cause you to be persistent in prayer. I'm going to get to the hindrances in a minute. We're trying to set it up. Psalm 62:5. My statement I want to make is this. Whenever you begin to pray, whenever you're seeking God's face, you must expect to hear God's voice and then follow it. When we seek after God in prayer, you have to have an expectation, Lord, I'm going to hear from you. Not just something to do, not just to fill a void, not to feel good, but Lord, when I come to you in prayer, I expect you to answer me. Psalm 62:5. My soul waits not only upon who? God. For my expectation is from him. See, I have to have an expectation when I go to God. I have to know, God, I'm dealing with this issue. And I'm coming to you. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. And I'm expecting you to give me an answer.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. When your child or your cousin, your nephew, when they, young, somebody younger, when they want something from you, your child expect, okay, it's getting close to Christmas time. Your child expect to get something. Amen. Men, your wife, women, your wife's birthday, or listen to me, if you don't, she expects something. Oh, I see, yeah, y'all, me and y'all gonna be married yet then. How many of y'all married? Okay, that's what it is. A lot of y'all ain't married yet. But her birthday, anniversary, I don't care if you're married 35 years, Valentine's Day, she expecting something. A card, a cupcake with a cap. You better put something in there. All right. You must know his voice to keep, oh, Lord. You must know his voice to keep you from dangers lurking in his world. Lord, have mercy. You must know his voice to keep you from the dangers lurking in this world. I give you a prime example. One of Bishop Daniel Robinson, he's one of the 12 in the LTMA. He has some people in his church that are a part of a missions group. And one particular lady, I think she's over, if I'm correct, she's over this missions group. And they were in Kenya, in Africa. And she told me on the trip, we were in Guatemala, and we were talking. She said, you saw that shooting that they had in Kenya, in Africa, when they went to the mall? Y'all remember that shooting? I said, yeah. She said, Reverend Holiday, we left 2 hours prior to that shooting. From Bishop Dan Church. All his missions group. They were there in the mall shopping, having a good time. I believe. Because they're connected to the apostolic anointing. And because that church is out of the apostolic government. They didn't just lead them all because they wanted to lead them all. I believe some prayers that they had prayed beforehand helped them hit God's voice and say, it's time to go. Not knowing 2 hours later, the whole mall was going to be assaulted. People were going to be killed and all kinds of different things. You got to be able to hear his voice. Because if you weren't able to hear his voice, you have fallen to the lurkings of this world. At the shop that we have, you women, y'all understand what I'm about to say. We have what we call shampoo bowls. Uh-huh. And you heard the women. Mm-hmm. They get their hair done now. Thank God for women. Keep me in business. But look. in those shampoo bowls, everybody don't do it, but I make sure I have, what you call them things you put in the bottom of the, in your sink? Stoppers. I put stoppers there, but they're made of shampoo bowls. What that does is it helps cut down on the residue. Women get perms and all colors and stuff like that. That stuff gets off in those pipes. And, you know, they pull your hair out. Some of your hair come out a little bit with damage or whatever. And what happens, if you don't have those stoppers, it'll get off in those pipes. And over a period of time, what'll happen now when you wash your hair, that water will begin to build up in that shampoo bowl. So it's become clogged. I said that to say this. God speaks to you every day. When God speaks to you?
Every day.
However, if your receiver's clogged up, you won't hear his instructions. See, just like that water can't get through those pipes because it's clogged up because of that perm and color and hair and everything else, it's the same way in the spirit realm where if your receiver's clogged up, you won't be able to hear God's voice. He can't channel his voice. Oh, Lord Jesus. He can't speak to you like he wants. You see that? It's called that he wants to give you some instructions about your life, instructions about your ministry, instructions about your family, instructions about your children. But if you clogged up, he can't talk to you. And if he talks to you, you can't hear him. That's why we start off with John. If a stranger don't know his voice, I hear you, Lord. If you clogged up, you're just like a stranger to God. And he can't talk to you. Now, let's look at the five unbeliefs. Five things that will keep you from hearing from God, to keep you from being persistent in prayer. Go to Romans 4. Romans 4. I hear you, Lord. Even with that strain I have in the bottom of that thing, once a year, I still had to have somebody come in there and run that rotor rule through them pipes just to keep it clean. What you saying, Lord? Even if you think you got it going on, keep the line clean. I got quite a hole to go there, boy. You got to keep it open. Don't ever think you got it so good that you ain't got to clean it out. Because just that day, oh, I hear you, Lord. Just when Mother's Day rolled around, everybody get them the hat done for Mother's Day at church on Sunday, the pipes get clogged up. Now your people can't get their hair done. Now women sitting there with perm, lose their religion. To me, y'all have to deal with that. Lights cut off. We just sit there and wait the lights come back on. You just bald heads, you get them on. Romans 4 and 20. You know it. The first unbelief. Unbelief will hinder your ability to hear from God. Romans 4 and 20, Amplified Version says, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubt and question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith, and as he gave praise and glory to God. See, unbelief fosters a distrust of God, which causes you to waver and leads you to doubt. See, when we go into prayer, we can't go into prayer with unbelief. You have to go in, like we said in Psalm 62, with expectation. See, what was it, Matthew 13? The Bible says Jesus, he did not many works because of their what? Unbelief. See, it won't work with unbelief. Oh, Lord. Note, Hebrews 3. You don't have to go there. But I want you, well, right now, for your notes. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, 12 and 19, verses 12 and 19. Next statement. An unbelieving heart turns you away from God and shuts you off from his promises and his presence. An unbelieving heart turns you away from God and shuts you off from his promises and his presence. Hebrews 3, 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart, of unbelief. See what he called an evil heart? A heart with unbelief. Glory to God. In departing from the living God. And then verse 19 from the Amplified Version says this. So we see that we were not able to enter into his rest because of their unwillingness to adhere and trust in and rely on God. Watch this here. Unbelief has shut them out. If you go to God in prayer with unbelief in your heart, we use that scripture, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. So what he's saying here now is if you come to him in prayer with good words and eloquent speaking and come to him in prayer, but the unbelief is in your heart, he's shutting you off. It's like having a caller ID and somebody calling you that you really don't want to talk to. Not that they're a bad person. They just don't have nothing good to say. They want to talk about who got shot on Town 9 News. I don't hear about that right now. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's the same way with God. When you come to him with vain prayer and unbelief, look, who that calling me? I don't want to talk to him right now. He shut you off.
That's right.
It's bad when God shuts you off. Hallelujah. If you watch this, if you don't believe what God says, then his word won't work. If you don't believe what God said in his word, then his word won't work. The Bible says tradition has made the word of God of what? Non-effect. Unbelief. Unbelief will cause God's word not to work. It's his word, but it won't work. And I like this. You must trust God, even if you can't see how his promises will come to pass, or even if they don't manifest the way you think you had planned. You must trust God, even if you can't see how his promises will come to pass, or if they don't manifest in the way that you have planned. I hear that old song they sing in the Baptist church. He may not come when you want him, Would he be there right on time? See, in other words, it's not going to happen all the way you think it's going to happen all the time. God got another plan, but you got to trust him. Hallelujah. I said, you got to trust him. See, because God has another plan. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm going to get off of it real quick. See, my wife, I couldn't stand her. No! She'll tell you, if you see her, talk to her. We went to school together 4 years. I may have talked to her one time. She called me Carlton, because it wasn't a lot of us in school, and I hope a lot of other people. You understand? And she was from across the track. Amen. Mate, I love you. You watching? Oh, I'm just testifying. You know, she had the earring in her nose, Jerry Curl. She was from the hood. She was crisscrossing. She wear the pants back, with shirt back. No, no. Not me. But years later, how many know God had another plan? Because it's gonna take somebody like her to handle me. Lord, have mercy. Because, see, I thought I was bad. You know, and everybody else would bow down to me. But she would tell me, you ain't all that. I'm telling you, man. See, I said that because... I'm saying that to tell you that it's not always going to go the way you think. Lord, you want me to... I'm just testifying now. I was a sorority man. I was a K-8-time man. You hear me? But God said, no, that's not what you need, because I got to, oh, Lord Jesus, I need to take you somewhere that a certain person can't help you with. Because you would have been too concerned about being at frat parties and organizations where you need to be in ministry. Hallelujah. See, I tell the truth, me. I ain't scared. Love you, baby. Yeah. Number three, an undeveloped spirit hinders your ability to hear from God. Yeah. An undeveloped spirit hinders your ability to hear from God. And I'm glad God changed that plan too, because I got a good one, boy. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. God leads you and guides you through his spirit. He said, many of us led by spirit of God are the what? Sons of God. Now, I like this right here. I almost picked up my chair when the Lord gave me this. He said, don't be more developed in your emotions than you are in your spirit. See, these are some of these hindrances that will keep you from being persistent in prayer. Don't be more developed in your emotions than you are in your spirit. Allow them to take you over and lead your life. See, I study and I watch things. Not to judge or anything like that, but just to learn. As a young preacher, I'm learning. Don't you ask it. Look straight. We just go talk about it. I wonder sometimes if people are really led by the spirit or they're led by the emotions. So let's give a good example here. The way that some people worship at church, do you worship the same way at home? Or are you being guided by your emotions when you got to church? You know, are you at the altar lifting your hands because you're in the spirit, you really love God, or are your emotions driving you? Because if you're doing it here, you ought to be doing it at home. Do you have that music at home while you clean up and just lift them before ain't nobody watching you? Do you think about God at home and something hits you and you put that cozy dance right quick? Or do you just do that at church? So if you are, what has happened is you're more developed in your emotions than you are in your spirit. Now I see why the apostle, he's changing things right now. Everybody can't handle it. Why? Because they're more developed in their emotions than their spirit. See, it don't matter. Listen, apostle come here tomorrow and tell me, look, you You got to sit outside and watch the screen, sir. You can't come inside. Yes, sir. Put the screen on. I'm saying that, I'm trying to make a point, because you have to be more developed in your spirit than your emotions. Because I've seen people get hot because they can't get a seat. They say, no, you can't sit there. We got a guest. You got to move. You more developed in your emotions than your spirit. Because I don't care where you sit me. I sit on the floor Indian style if I have to. I'm serious. What's more important, that seat or being in the presence of God, hearing what God got to say to you? So you find out what you really developed at. All right. God wants your spirit to be whole so he can lead you. Therefore, you must develop. All right. God's word is the connection to manifestation. Therefore, you must be willing to fill your spirit with his word. All right. This should be what? Number three? Yeah. Third hindrance. A spirit of deafness hinders your ability to hear from God. A spirit of deafness hinders your ability to hear from God. Having unforgiveness opens you up to tormentors. Yeah. What happened then? Your heart stops hearing when you begin to focus on painful memories. See, when you start doing that, you can't pray. You can't hear from God properly. Because you still mad and thinking about somebody who called you waterhead in 8th grade. I'm serious. You still hurt that she left like she did. Amen. That fella played you like that. So what happens, see, everybody here, if you're not careful, there's some past hurt that if you're not careful, you hold on to, it'll hinder you. Oh, Lord, there go that spirit again. Pastor Walker, I got this plan. Pastor Walker being in the plans with me, right? He's a 70s man. He that spirit on him. He keep that spirit in him. I said you got to let go of those past memories, right? And I heard, I think I better let it go. I did. Looks like another love TKO. But you got to let it go. I'm serious. Paul said it. He said, don't look to the past. Past fault. That's all he said it. Mama gave some of him. That's right. Or Teddy, whoever it was. Who was? Teddy? Yeah, that was, you know Teddy. Right. But Paul said it first. Yeah, he did. He said, let go of the past. Press forward. Right. See, what happens is when you hold on to past hurts, past memories, you can be using God's word, but you won't get no manifestation. Because you still, the Bible said this, anything, you ever get some blood or something in you, say, go put it down. Then come back. Could it be? We haven't gotten certain prayers answered because we hold on to something we don't nobody know but God. We lifting our hands, we shouting, we at work reading the Bible, we got Fred Hamlin in the car, but we still got unforgiveness. And we praying, ain't nothing happening. And it's hitting the prayers. Anger, jealousy, bitterness, resentment, matters grieve the Holy Spirit and block your ability to hear. I'll say it again. Anger, jealousy, bitterness, resentment, and malice grieve the Holy Spirit and block your ability to hear. Remember, I told you about being clogged up, that'll clog your system up. That'll clog up hearing from God. Yes, ma'am. Anger. Jealousy, bitterness, resentment, and malice grieve the Holy Spirit and block your ability to hear. Number four, fourth hindrance. A callous conscience hinders your ability to hear from God. Wow. You become so insensitive when you are constantly ignoring your conscience to do what your flesh wants to do. You become insensitive when you are when you constantly ignore your conscience to do what your flesh wants to do. Your consciousness is the voice of your spirit, and God only leads us through our spirit. Now watch this. Every time you disobey the spirit of God, it becomes harder and harder and harder to hear his voice when he does speak to you. Every time you disobey the spirit of God, it becomes, I had to make it harder though, it becomes harder to hear the voice of when he speaks to you. Lord, show me. The best way I can describe that thing, it's probably math. That's the best way I can think of right now. Well, after a certain period of time, if you stop doing math for a while, and you forget all those different equations and functions and all that kind of stuff, the longer you're away from it, the more you got to depend on that calculator. Yeah, you become dumb. I can prove it to you. Months ago, we were at McDonald's, should have been there, no way, and they rung you up, and the lights went out, and but the register's still working, but the kids at the register couldn't give you the correct change. It was $10.50, you gave them $15.50, they still couldn't get it right. Why? Because the more you're away from doing something, the harder it is to remember how to do it. I hear you, Lord. That's why the enemy don't want you to pray. That's why the Bible says men ought to always pray. Because the longer you're away from prayer, then when you do pray, when God speaks, the harder it is to hear from him. Yeah, I see it, Lord. That's why Pastor Apostle always saying that you can't miss church long. Because the ministry is constantly moving. And if you just miss 3 weeks, you 3 weeks behind in the spirit realm, man. If you're not watching by internet or keeping up with MP3s or going back to the man, if you just try to come back, you lost. I feel sorry for people who left here 2-3 years ago and just try to come back right now. It'll be hard because it's a total different atmosphere. And then the last one, neglect hinders your ability to hear from God. Neglect. When you neglect to pray, when you neglect to read the Bible, when you neglect to fellowship with God, what will it affect? It would affect your thoughts, your actions, your habits, your character, and your destiny. I'm going to say it again. When you neglect prayer, studying the Word of God, and fellowship with God, it will affect your thoughts. You start thinking crazy. If you start thinking crazy, it's going to affect your actions. You're going to act crazy. Then it started messing with your habits. And it starts messing with your character. Now you run around here talking about they call you pokey. Lord help me. And it affects your destiny. They fool some of y'all here. Don't worry about it. If you go out that southern tailgate, you know who pokey is. Lord help us. If you want to fulfill your destiny, you must ensure that your mindset and decisions line up with his word. Amen? All right, now let's get into the lesson. Hallelujah. We deal with chapter 6 of being persistent in prayer. First thing we're going to look at here, it says that you must not only pray, but you must also pray with a great urgency. If we are at any time in our life, in ministry, in life, in relationship, our government, we have great urgency. We need to be praying. I say we need to be praying. Y'all must don't watch the news. We need to be praying. But not just praying, he said, but the man of God said, but begin to pray with great urgency. Intensity and with repetition. We must not just pray, but he said we must pray again and again and again. See, just because we pray this morning, no, wake up in the morning, begin to pray again. When you get the word, begin to pray again. It's not something that you just stop doing. You got to consistently pray with intensity and repetition. Let me give you a definition of persistence. I like this. Persistence is the firm, continuous, in a cause of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Hallelujah. It's the firm or consistent or consistency in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. In other words, it don't matter what come up, I'm going to keep on praying. It don't care, Lord, it don't matter what the government do, I'm going to keep on praying. It don't matter what my family decides to do. And the Bible says, as far as me and my house, we're going to keep on praying. Let them shut the government down. Let them do whatever they want to do. We have to keep being persistent in what God calls to do. Keep praying to God. Keep seeking God's face. We must press our prayers. Not like this part here. We must press our prayers upon God. On who? On God. We must press. I like that word, press. In other words, it's kind of like when you take your clothes to the cleaners, and they press them, and it's almost like it's stuck together. That's how our prayers got to be to God. We gotta press our prayers upon God, stick it close to God, where it become one. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Luke 18. Read it. This week, but that's it. Glory to God. Exam. Well, we got exam next week, right? It's not next week. It's November 4th. Yeah. I was just testing. God bless y'all. Y'all have a good evening.